We're reading from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, verse 6. Bandhuratma panastasya.
Bandhuratma panastasya.
Yenatmai va manachitaha.
Yenatmai va manachitaha.
Anatmanastisha chitve.
Anatmanastisha chitve.
Vartetatmai vashaktiva. For him who has conquered the mind is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his very mind will be the greatest enemy. Purport. The purpose of practicing Eightfold Yoga is to control the mind in order to make it a friend in discharging the human mission. Unless the mind is controlled, the practice of yoga for show is simply a waste of time. One who cannot control his mind is always with the greatest enemy, and thus his life and its mission are spoiled. The constitutional position of living entity is to carry out the order of the superior. As long as one's mind remains an unconquered enemy, one has to serve with the patience of love, anger, avarice, illusion, etc. But when the mind is conquered, one voluntarily agrees to abide by dictation of the personality of Godhead is situated within the heart of everyone as Paramatma. Real yoga practice entails meeting the Paramatma within the heart and then following his dictation. For one who takes the Krishna consciousness directly, perfect surrender to the dictation of the Lord follows automatically. So what to do about the madman? In the purport later on, here in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada gives us a prescription for the mad mind. Hearing of the transcendental activities of Lord Krishna is expert treatment for the mad mind. And what's the diet? Prasadam. Eating prasadam is the diet for the suffering patient. So we have the prescription, hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, and the diet. So, as devotees, we have to find a balance in our lives. And this balance, another name for this balance, is the mode of goodness. Mode of goodness is balance. The modes are balanced. And in Ayurvedic medicine, this is the essence of Ayurveda, is also balance. If you want to be healthy, then you have to balance the dosha. So, again, here later on in this chapter, Lord Krishna says, he who is regulated in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation, and work can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. And so, counteracting the threefold miseries, we got the miseries of the mind and the body. How to counteract it? By regulation, by balance, eating, sleeping, recreation, and birth. Have to be, balance has to be regulated. So in one purport, Prabhupada gives a prescription for how to be a yogi at home. He said, if you want to be a yogi at home, your other engagements should be moderate. You cannot work hard for a living and be a yogi. You should eat moderately, gratify the senses moderately. Work should be anxiety-less. Is that possible? Maybe if you only work for Krishna. Even then you have anxiety. There's spiritual anxiety. There's spiritual anxiety. When Uttama Shloka was in Toronto, he was buying the temple in Toronto. Then he was telling Srila Prabhupada, oh, here's the temple, but if we buy it, it will... We'll have to work so hard to make the money to get this temple. And Srila Prabhupada said, don't purchase anxiety. So a few months later, Prabhupada came and he said, would you like to see the church that we want to buy? So he showed him around and Prabhupada said, oh, you must get this church. And he said, but Prabhupada, he said, don't purchase anxiety. And Prabhupada said, there must be anxiety for Krishna. And so there, Prabhupada sometimes he would say one thing, sometimes he would say another. So here's one example of that. Yes, for Krishna we do have anxiety sometimes. But if you want to be healthy and happy, then you have to be regulated. You have to be in the mode of goodness. So after one lecture, one devotee child, Gurukuli, 8 years old, he heard Prabhupada speak on this verse about regulation. So he asked Prabhupada this question, Swamiji, you said, if you eat too much, you will pay. How about the devotee? What if they eat too much prasadam? So Prabhupada said, you want to eat more? And the boy said, I just want to know how. And Prabhupada said, you think you're eating more? You can eat more. It is medical advice. There are two kinds of mistakes in eating. Overeating and undereating. So undereating mistake for an old man is very good. And overeating mistake for boys is very good. So you can overeat, I cannot. So then the boy asked Prabhupada, what about Chamal Krishna Maharaj and Vishnu John? He asked Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, no, they cannot. And so that was Prabhupada, but you can eat as much as you like, free pass. 8 years old. He was so smart. And so Prahlad Maharaj told his father, he was trying to teach to his father, "My dear father, give up this demonic mentality. Do not discriminate in your heart between enemies and friends. Make your mind equipoise towards everyone, except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind. There is no enemy in this world. When one sees everyone in the platform of equality, one comes to the platform of worshiping the Lord perfectly." And so we heard about who is the enemy. It's our own mind. And later on we'll hear about what to do about it. But first, we should know that our greatest enemy can be our greatest friend, too. Here Prabhupada says in the purpose of yoga is to make it a friend. So we can also say that in bhakti yoga, we have to make our mind a friend. It's one of the purposes of yoga. And if you cannot control your mind, you're living with your enemy. So how do you know when your mind's your friend? How do you know it's, I've had that experience in Vrindavan sometimes. I'll be walking next to the temple and then I'll hear a kirtan. And my mind will go to the kirtan. Then your mind is your friend. And your mind is your enemy. Yeah, is it too slow? Stop. Yeah. Okay, is that better?
Yes.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, that sound, I couldn't hear it either. I was shouting. Trying to. Okay, yeah, I think the rain is louder than me. Anyway, so how do we know when our mind is our enemy? Prabhupada says, when you're serving dictations of lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and enviousness, then your mind is your enemy. And so in Bhagavad Gita, later on, in this chapter, there's so much about the mind in this chapter. Arjuna compares the mind to the wind. And there's the mind to the wind. And in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it goes further to say that the wind is one of our gurus. Of the 24 gurus, the wind is one. So what can we learn from the wind? When the wind blows in many directions at once, the atmosphere becomes agitated. And if the mind is constantly attracted and repelled by material objects, there will be such mental disturbance, then you cannot think about Krishna. So we should learn from the blowing wind the art of moving throughout the material world without attachment. So how does the wind move? It goes across a beautiful garden of flowers. It picks up the scent, and then it drops it. Or it may go over a garbage dump, pick up the scent, and then drop it. And so we go through our lives. We pick up happiness, but we have to drop it also. And we pick up distress, and we should also drop it. We can't keep it. We can't keep it. Yeah. Krishna advises in the second chapter that we have to tolerate. The happiness and distress is like the different seasons. And so winter is the season of distress, I would say. And spring is the season of happiness. And so our lives go through these seasons also. We have to learn from the wind not to be attached. That, okay, happiness will come, it will go. Distress will come, it will go. But we have to remain steady in our service to Srila Prabhupada, in our service to Krishna. So how do we lose control? First comes lust, kama. And if our lust is not satisfied, then comes anger. Kam krodh. We're angry if we're not satisfied. And after becoming angry, you become greedy. Oh, I need more, then I'll be satisfied. It's just I didn't get enough. So there was one of the richest men in the world who is no longer with us. He has left his body. His name, I think, was J. Paul Getty. So some reporter asked him, what is your philosophy of life? And he said it in one word, more. That was his philosophy. He was one of the richest men in the world, not satisfied. No matter how much he got, billions, who knows how much he had, but he was not satisfied. So this is the problem. If our mind is our enemy, we'll never be satisfied. And so here we see the problem in our society of USA, all over the world, is greed for wealth. People want money. Money is the honey. But in the there's a verse in the 11th canto, 23rd chapter, in the earning, attainment, increase, protection, expense, loss, enjoyment of wealth, all men experience great labor, fear, anxiety, and delusion. And so this is happening if we become attached to wealth. All these things will happen to us. 15 undesirable qualities come from hoarded wealth. This is also from 11th canto. Theft, violence, speaking lies, duplicity, lust, anger, perplexity, pride, quarreling, gambling, intoxication are 15 undesirable qualities that contaminate men because of greed for wealth. So I met one man, not myself, but one of our book distributors met a man when he was distributing books. The man said to the devotee, happiest day of my life was when I bought my boat. This was in Ireland, because they have lots of rivers and they have lots of lakes and they need boats to get around. Our temple, Govinda Deep, is on an island. You have to go by boat to get there. And so then he said, but then the happiest day of my life was when I sold my boat, because it was so difficult to maintain. You get something and then to maintain it, you have to go through so much trouble. So what to do? Is there a Krishna conscious solution for utilizing lust, anger, greed in Krishna's service? Narottam Das Thakur says, yes, you can use karma for serving Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said an ordinary worker will work so hard day and night, so a devotee can work day and night for Krishna. And so he said, in that way we're using our lust for Krishna, to satisfy Krishna. Anger can be used in the service of Krishna. Hanuman was angry, and he applied his anger in the service of Lord Ram. He set fire to the kingdom of Ravana, because he was angry with Ravana. So I'm sure you have heard this old Indian fable. There is one fable from the American Indian. It's not from Indian. From the American Indians. It's been in Back to Godhead many times. That there's two dogs fighting. The good dog and the bad dog. And they're living in our heart. So how do you know which dog is going to win the battle? The dog you feed the most. You feed your good dog, it's going to win. If you feed your bad dog, it's going to win. So we have to feed Krishna. We have to feed our spiritual desires. We have to want to serve Krishna every moment of the day. We have to be always praying to Krishna, please let me not forget you. Let me remember you. Let me remember to serve you. So Narottam Das Thakur, he says, yes, you can live at home. Now everybody's living at home, but I don't know if everybody's still. Maybe some people are going to work now. Yeah, so it's not so much as it was last month. But even if you're living at home, also means you're a grihastha. That you're a grihastha. If you're living at home, you can also be a devotee. And here we have all these, so many grihasthas here in Alachua who are still doing devotional service, still engaging their minds, still engaging their hearts, still engaging their words and their bodies in the service of Krishna. So we have to make our mind a friend. Sri Prabhupada gave his example. He said, in the material world, people are lusty for their sense gratification. But the same propensity can be used for Krishna, for serving Krishna. He said, just like we are writing books all night long. So for an old man like me, it's very tedious. but we're doing it for Krishna. So similarly, another author may be writing whole night for some sex literature, and this labor is the same as my labor, except my labor is for Krishna. The labor may be the same, the ambition may be the same. Maybe that person wants to be a famous writer. Maybe the devotee who's writing books wants to be a famous author. But if he's doing it for Krishna, he gets purified. He gets purified. So, now we have people in America setting fire to buildings. Well, Hanuman did that too, but it was for Krishna. it was a different... They should join the army of Ram, and then they can do that. They can join Ram's army. So we have to make our mind a friend, use it in service of Krishna. Lust, we can be angry for Krishna, we can be lusty, we can be greedy to do service for Krishna. We can be greedy to think of Krishna. We can be greedy to come to the temple. I think being away from the temple for a month kind of increased our greed to come and see the deities. It's been so long, we cannot see the deities. Now we can see them face to face again. It's different from virtual seeing. Of course, Krishna is non-different even if he's on the screen. But still, it feels good to be here in the company of devotees and in company of the deities. So moha, without seeing the devotees, without seeing Krishna, then moha, we can use that in the service of Krishna, this illusion, this that, oh, I can't see Krishna. I'm feeling some loss here. I'm feeling something lacking. I want to see Krishna. And so Śrīla Prabhupāda gives the example, if we can't see Krishna, śaṅjāyitam jagat sarvam, the whole world is empty and useless. But we're not disappointed because it's spiritual. In material life, if you're away from your sweetheart, from your friends, then you feel very, very sad. You feel, and you may not get over it. But here, in spiritual life, we're also feeling sad to be away from Krishna. But the closer, the more we think of Krishna, then the more we can actually be with Krishna. Because that feeling of separation brings us closer to Krishna. And so some of us living outside might have been brought closer to Krishna now. And now we really appreciate seeing Krishna, seeing the decoration, seeing the flower, seeing the devotees also after a whole month or two. And so there's no disappointment. So now I'd like to talk a little bit about protection. How does Krishna protect us? How can we get protection from our six enemies? I have researched a little bit from Vedavas, and I found different things, different ways that Krishna will protect us. So I'd like to share that with you. The first thing is that if you lift up Krishna's lotus foot, you will see on his foot a chakra. And that chakra, if you meditate on that chakra, that effulgence, that chakra on Krishna's lotus feet, it will cut down your six enemies of your mind. So that's something you can do if you get a picture of lotus feet of Krishna, and also it's there on Radha's lotus feet, and also there on Gaur and Nitai's lotus feet. So you can meditate on any of them, and you will get your six enemies will be cut down. So, so that's the first thing. Another thing, is chanting Hare Krishna, of course. We have the Hare Krishna movement. By chanting, we get protection. And I told this story, the last Sunday feast lecture I gave, I think it was 3 weeks ago. So I'll tell it again because it's relevant. And maybe some of you weren't there or you couldn't hear properly. So this is a true story about Indraduna Maharaj, who was on an airplane. And the airplane was, you have Krishna's, there's the chakra, yay, okay, great. You see the chakra? It's on Lord Krishna's right foot, yes, thank you. Yes, you can see it. They were in the airplane, they were trying to make a landing, and every time they would try to land, the plane would shake violently, and they had to abort the landing because there was this huge winds coming. So when the plane came down, Maharaj was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And the Christians, God also inspired them, were chanting Jesus. And the Muslims were chanting Allah. And the plane went back up. But next to Maharaj, there was sitting a scientist. And he said to Maharaj, Swamiji, I do not believe in these things. I am a scientist. So the plane went back down and started shaking violently. Maharaj was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They aborted the landing, went back up. The scientist looked very sick. And he said to Maharaj, what was that you were saying? What? And Maharaj said, Hare Krishna. No, the whole thing, the whole thing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the pilot made an announcement, we're going to try one more time, and if we do not succeed, we're going to go back to where we came from. So the plane went down, everyone was chanting, the scientist was chanting, and the plane landed safely. So Maharaj said to the scientist, now, do you believe? And the scientist said, maybe. So Maharaj said, here's my card. If you have any questions, you can contact me. So yes, the chanting. The chanting will protect you when you're in danger. It will protect you. Whenever I get in turbulence, take off landing, I chant. I chant Hare Krishna. I chant. It's really helpful. It's really helpful. And so many times I start chanting and the plane evens up. It becomes even. Gets out of the turbulence. It really works. So, yes, chanting when you're in danger. So we get protection from danger, we get protection from our six enemies. And another thing we get protection from is anxiety over our future maintenance. Krishna says, in Gita, for those who worship me with devotion, meditating in my transcendental form, I carry what they lack and preserve what they have. So Prabhupada says, devotees have no anxiety over what will happen next, where they will stay, what they will eat, for everything is maintained by the Lord and supplied. And he declares that, he told Arjuna, declare boldly, my devotee shall never perish. And so he said there's no struggle for existence for devotees. And I had that experience in India when I was on traveling Sankirtan. We would go from village to village, and we'd never knew where we were going next and where we were going to sleep, what we were going to eat. And we started out with the books. We had to lie on top of the books until we distributed it. We had no place to sit in the van. It was a small van. But you had that feeling, actually, okay, we're just depending on Krishna. And it was a nice feeling, traveling Sankirtan in India. And the people were very, very appreciative. The only problem was if we ran out of books, we could start a riot. So what we did was if we ran out of books, we would tell the people, okay, we're just going back to our hotel to get more, and then we'd just get out of town fast. Because otherwise, we didn't know what would be our destination. We had to go back and get more books from the temple, wherever we were, Juhu Bombay. But yeah, we were maintained in that situation. So another thing, if you take up Krishna consciousness, if you chant Hare Krishna, you'll get protection from fall down. In history, Prabhupada quotes the examples from Srimad Bhagavatam, Chitraketu, Indradun Maharaj, Maharaj Bharata, they all fell down, but they were protected by the Lord. Maharaj Bharat, he was attached to a deer, became a deer, but because of protection, he remembered his past life. So he was born in a good Brahminical family and did devotional service and he preached. Chitraketu fell down and became a demon, but he didn't forget. He didn't forget his relationship with Krishna in prema. And he was chanting beautiful prayers and he was preaching to Indra. He was preaching, you kill me, I'll go back to Godhead. You stay here and rot, and I'll go back. So he was preaching to Indra, that just kill me, okay? I want to go back to Godhead. I want to be with Krishna. And so, he didn't forget. So he was more of a devotee than Indra, it seems, in that situation. And his prayers were amazing about separation from Krishna. He was Chitraketu in his previous life. And so there are many examples of how Krishna will protect you. If you fall down, sometimes it may be in another birth, that you fall down and we didn't finish our devotional service in our past life. We fell down. But now this life we're getting another chance. And as Gita says here, of course, you're supposed to be born in a Brahminical family, devotee family. Many of us didn't get that opportunity. But we didn't forget. When Prabhupada called us, we came. Just like one example of in Washington, D.C., one devotee was telling me they were going out on Harinam. And there was this one person who started following the Harinam. And he was running to join the Harinam. And he even lost one of his shoes on the way. And the devotee said, you could go back and get your shoe. He said, I'm not going back. And that was Ayendra. something there from last night.
That explains a lot.
Huh?
That explains a lot.
Yeah. He was attracted to the kirtan. To the Harinam. So, and that was it. He just left everything, whatever he had, even his last one shoe. He didn't care. He just he left it to join the temple. Yeah, and sometimes even devotees go away from Krishna consciousness. Like there was one example in Ireland. He was complaining that, Mangal Arati, it's so early to get up in the morning. And not only that, there's no toilet paper in the temple. And, in the old days, we didn't use toilet paper. It was the Indian system. Still is in some temples. So then he left the devotees. He got a job, and it was a night job. There he was, 2 o'clock in the morning, working in a factory, moving huge boxes, and he didn't even know what was in the boxes, some kind of paper. So 2 o'clock in the morning, he said, wait a minute, this is worse than going to Mangal Arati. I'm up at 2 o'clock instead of 3:30. And then he punctured one of the boxes and 100 rows of toilet paper fell on his head. So Krishna has different ways of getting devotees to come back. He's here, you want toilet paper? Here, as much as you want. Take it. So he said, okay, I understand. Back to the temple. And so, even if we fall down, Krishna protects us. So we're protected from fall down, we're protected from anxiety over the future, from our six enemies, from danger, and we're protected from Maya. Maya is there. Always if we forget Krishna, then Maya comes. And so if we chant Hare Krishna, of course, that's our protection. It's a shield. Vishujan Maharaj used to say, if you chant your 16 rounds, you've got a protective shield around you from Maya. And another protection, another thing we're protected from is from our bad qualities. It's hard to get rid of them. They stay with us, it seems, for so long. So if we chant Hare Krishna, do devotional service, we'll be protected from our bad qualities, and all good qualities will come. And so another thing is sinful desires. We have sinful desires sometimes, we'll be protected from that. Many of us are in the anarjana vritti stage. We're still struggling to practice Krishna consciousness, and if we persevere, don't give up, then if we can just tolerate and keep on going to the end of this life, then Krishna Prabhupada will take us back to Godhead in this life. So you may have a question that, okay, we're protected. When does the protection start? When does it start? How much surrender do you have to be protected by Krishna? Well, I got some good news for you from the ninth canto. The story of Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish was depending on Krishna, and Durvasa Muni tried to kill him. He sent a huge demon, which was destroying everything. It was ready to kill him, and Maharaj Ambarish was just praying, okay, Lord, whatever, whatever you like, I'm ready. And now Prabhupada has a very nice purport explaining what happened. The Lord knows how to protect his devotees. The Lord knew everything. So before anything happened, he already arranged for his chakra to protect Maharaj Ambarish. This protection is offered to the devotee. Here it comes. When do you get it? Uh-oh, I can't turn the page. I have to wait. From the very beginning of his devotional service, you get protection, even from the very beginning. If one simply begins devotional service, he's immediately protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is 9448 purport. Protection begins immediately. Lord is so kind and merciful, he gives the devotee proper guidance and all protection, so as the devotee very peacefully makes solid progress in Krishna consciousness without outward disturbances. A serpent may be very angry and ready to bite, but the furious snake is helpless and faced by a blazing fire in the forest. Although an enemy of a devotee may be very strong, he is compared to an angry serpent before the fire of devotional service. And so it's difficult to control our restless mind, but if we offer it to Krishna, let him take control, he'll surely help us. So I would like to end with one prayer from Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 14.1. Katanchana smite yasmin duskaram sukaram bhave smite viparitam sya shi chaitanya namamitam. Things that are very difficult to do become easy to execute if one somehow or other simply remembers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if one does not remember him, even easy things become very difficult. To this Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I offer my respectful obeisances. Jai, Gornitai ki jai, Radisham ki jai, and Krishna Balaram ki jai. So do we have any questions or comments or realizations about Krishna's protection? Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for your nice class. I wish I would have been here earlier. But the quote you just quoted now, that's from Chaitanya Bhagavan?
No, Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Shikshamrita, okay.
Charitamrita.
Charitamrita. Charitamrita, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Prabhupada's book.
Okay.
Adi 14.1.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Adi 14.1. Yes.
I really appreciated the points you were saying about that when a devotee, even if he falls down, he is still protected when he chants Hare Krishna, because I think it's easy to say or to see a devotee who may not be practicing Krishna texts anymore, or may not be practicing seriously, and think, oh, because he was chanting and then this happened, the process doesn't work, or doesn't work as much as it says it works.
Yeah.
But when you hear instances like you said, that it shows that actually it does still work, and the holy name is so merciful that it generally brings devotees back to Krishna.
Yes.
And then you quoted a verse by Ambarish Maharaj where a devotee is protected as soon as their devotional life starts.
Yeah.
And I wondered if you can elaborate what that means to start one's devotional life. Is it as soon as one comes in contact with the devotee? Or
yes. As soon as one comes in contact with the devotee, his devotional service starts. Especially if he does something, if he takes a book, if he eats prasadam, if he has darshan of the deities, if he comes to a class, it starts. That's when it starts. It's going into your spiritual bank account. If you go to a class, if you take a book, if you appreciate the devotees, just appreciate. That's enough. Yeah, I have a story. Let me see what time it is now. Okay, there's a little time. There was one person who had a near-death experience, and the person was taken to Yamaraj. And the Yamaraj was hearing the whole list. Oh, so many sins. Oh, wow. Did this person do anything good? And they said, oh yeah, he did one thing good. He waved to the Harinam party when it was going by. And then everyone in Yamaraj's court went, oh. And then he asked, how many times did he wave? 4 times. Oh. this was what I heard. So then Yamaraj asked, so if I send you back, what will you do? I'll become a Hare Krishna devotee. So, yeah, some devotee joined. I believe it was in Eastern Europe. It was in Eastern Europe that devotee joined. I've heard it in several classes. And, yeah. And so it starts from the beginning. He got protected just by waving to the Harinam. So imagine if you go out on Harinam and help these people. It's so good for them. I don't know if you can go out now, if it's ready, if people are ready or not, but eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going?
I don't know. I agree with you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, any other questions? No? Okay, Jai Agoish Shiva Prabhupada. We have kirtan now? Can take me. Yeah. You tell him to phone him.